Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Talmud Torah Perek Zayin. The Rambam ends Hilchot Talmud Torah by completing the laws of Nidui and Cherem, two levels of ostracizing a person and cutting him off from the community, which we saw in the last perek is the punishment for one who shows dishonor to a Talmud Chacham. Ostracism and excommunication were, from the time of the Gemara until a few hundred years ago, very powerful tools both for punishing a wrongdoer and convincing him to abandon his ways and return to the fold. Societal changes of the last few hundred years have rendered these tools obsolete for two reasons. First, they are only meaningful if the sinner has no alternative community to be part of. As long as Jews were barred from entering Gentile society, this was the case. But once the barrier separating Jewish and non-Jewish society broke down, and Jews could gain admission into general society, excommunication didn't have the same effect. In fact, it often could serve to drive the sinner away from Judaism, as conversion to the dominant religion was often a prerequisite to enter Gentile society. Secondly, the use of these tools was frowned upon and often forbidden by the non-Jewish government, which saw them as competition to their own ability to rule, and eventually as potential obstacles to their goal of assimilating Jews into general society. As a result, even though these laws appear here in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch, they find very few applications today. Halacha Aleph. Chacham zaken b'chokhma v'chein nasi o av beitin shesarach, ein min adin oto b'farhesia le'olam, elaim kein asa ki arovam b'nevat v'chaverav. Aval kishechata sh'archa ta'ot malkin oto b'tzina, sh'ne'amar, v'chashalta hayom v'chashal gam navi imcha laila. Af al pi shekashal, kaseyu kalayla, v'omrim lo hi kaved v'shev b'veitecha. One of the offenses that we saw for which a person can get nidui is a chacham who himself starts to behave improperly. So the Rambam is saying here that such a person we put into nidui, but not in public, rather only in private, unless he did something really terrible, like Yerovam ben Nevat, who was the first king of Malchut Yisrael, who separated 10 tribes away from Yehuda and Binyamin, prevented them from going to the Beit HaMikdash, and established an alternate place of worship. Someone who sins on that level, we put him in nidui b'farhesia, but otherwise, we put him nidui in private. The source of this is a pasuk in Hosea that speaks about how when a navi stumbles and does something wrong, even though he has to be rebuked and put into nidui, it's done quietly. The analogy is that it'd be done at night, like in the dark, without anyone knowing about it. And we tell him, retain your honor by just staying at home and not interacting with the community. V'chein kol talmid chachamim shnit chayev nidui asur leveitin likpots ulanadoto bimhera elav orchin midavar ze v'nishmatin mimenu v'chasidei chachamim hayu mishtavchin shelo nimnu me'olam lenadot talmid chachamim af api shemnin lahalkoto imitchayev malkut v'afil makat mardut nimnim alea lahakoto. And so too, whenever a Talmid Chacham requires Nidui, we don't rush to do so without first checking very carefully that he really needs to do it. And Chachamim in general try as much as possible to avoid having to put a Talmud Chacham into Nidui. They try to avoid that more than they would try to avoid punishing him with Malkot or Makat Mardut as necessary for the sin that he did. Halacha bet, v'cheitzad hua Nidui, omrin ploni b'shamta, v'im niduhu b'fanav omrin ploni ze, v'acherim omrin ploni machoram, v'arur bo ala bo shvua bo Nidui. How does a Nidui take effect? We say so-and-so is in Shamta. Shamta is the Aramaic word for Nidui. And if it's in front of him, then we say Ploni Ze, this person, is in Nidui. Acherim, which as we'll see shortly, is a higher level of Nidui, that is imposed by saying so-and-so is in Cherim. And the word Arur can also be used as a form of Nidui because the word Arur, which can mean to curse, also can mean putting someone in Cherim. It can also mean a form of oath. Halacha Gimel, v'cheitzad matirin hanidui o acherim, omrim lo sharui lecha umachu lecha, v'mitiruhu shelo b'fanav, omrim ploni sharui lo umachu lo. And the way that a nidui is annulled is that we simply say to the person, to the individual who's been put in nidui, sharui lecha, it's permitted for you and it's been forgiven to you. If we do this not in front of him, then we say so-and-so is permitted and is forgiven and can rejoin the community. Halacha Dalet. Mao haminhag shin hog haminude batsmo vishino aginimo, menude asur lesaper lechabes ka avel kol yime niduyo, vein mezamnin alav, velo kol lino to basara lechol davar shitzari chasara, velo yoshvinimo ba'arba amot. So, what exactly are the practices of a nidui? Someone who is a nidui has to he keeps certain practices of Avilut. He is not allowed to cut his hair or shave, not allowed to wash his clothes. We do not have a zimun that includes him. We do not include him for a minyan, for anything that requires a minyan. And we do not sit within 4 amot of him. There is debate among the poskim whether someone in nidui is also not allowed to wear regular leather shoes, which is another practice of avilut. The Shulchan Aruch says that that is forbidden to him, but the Shach says that the custom is to permit that for a menuda. Aval shoneh l'achirim v'shonin lo. V'niskar v'socher, v'meit v'niduyo, beitin sholchin u'manichin even al arono, klomar she'ein rogminoto, lefi shu muvdal min atzibur, v'ein tzrich lomar she'ein masbidinoto, v'ein milavin et mitato. However, even someone in nidui is allowed to teach others, and others can teach him. He is allowed to be hired to work, and he can hire others. Someone who dies when he is still in nidui, Beit Din will put a rock on his coffin, as if to say that this person really should have been stoned because he remained in nidui to the end of his life. And it goes without saying that we do not eulogize him. We do not have a funeral procession for him. His burial is a very low-key affair. Halacha hei, yater alav hamachoram. She'eino shoneh l'achirim ve'ein shonin lo, aval shonehu l'atzmo kedei shlo yishkach tamudo, ve'eino niskar ve'ein niskarin lo, ve'ein osin notninimo, ve'ein mitaskinimo ela ma'at esek kedei parnasato. The cherem, which we said is a higher level of nidui, how are those dinim different? Someone in cherem is not allowed to teach others, and others are not allowed to teach him. He can go over his learning by himself, so that he not forget it. He is not allowed to be hired to others, and others are not allowed to be hired to him. People are not allowed to do any kinds of transactions with him, except the bare minimum necessary for him to survive. Halacha vav, mishi yashav b'niduyo shloshim yom v'lo bikesh latiro, menadino to shnia. Now we finally see how it is that a person can move from nidui to cherem, which is that once someone is in nidui for 30 days, if he doesn't come back and say that he's doing tshuva and request that it be forgiven, we put him in nidui for another 30 days. And if after those 30 days he's still not interested in coming back to the fold, then we put him in cherem. That moves him up to this higher level of ostracism that we just read about in the last halacha. Halacha zayin, b'chama matirin hanidui o acherim, b'shlosha, afilu hediotot. V'achid mumche matir hanidui levado, v'yesh l'talmid lahatir hanidui o acherim, v'afilu b'imkom harav. How many does it take to nullify a nidui or acherim? 3, and they don't even have to be experts. They can be what are called hediotot, people who are not especially expert in Jewish law. And even a single judge, if he's a mumche, if he's an expert, he can release someone from his nidui. And a Talmud can release someone from a nidui or cherem even in the place of the rab. This is not considered a violation of more halacha bifnei rabo, the prohibition that we read about in Perek He. Halacha tet, notice that due to a printing error, there is no halacha chet in this perek in any printing. We skip straight from halacha zayin to halacha tet. Shlosha shnidu v'alchu lehen v'chazar ze midavar shniduhu biglalo, v'ayin shlosha achirim u'matirin lo. If 3 people put a person into nidui, and then they disperse and we can't find them, and the person who was put in nidui does tshuva and wants the nidui annulled, we can get 3 others to convene and nullify the nidui. Halachayud mishalo yadam mi nidahu, yadech etzla nasi v'yatir lo niduyo. Someone who doesn't know who put him in nidui. He heard that someone put him in nidui and other people are practicing that nidui. After he does tshuva, he can go to the nasi and ask that the nasi nullify his nidui. Halachayud alef nidui al tenai, afilu mipi atzmo, tzari chafara. Tamid chachamim shnida atzmo, afilu nida atzmo al dat ploni, afilu al davar shechayav lav nidui, harei ze mefer la atzmo. If a nidui is imposed only on a certain condition, then even if that condition is not fulfilled, the nidui still needs to be annulled. The source for this is the case of Yehuda, the son of Yaakov. When Yaakov sent Yehuda and his brothers down to Mitzrayim to get food, and the second time he had to send Binyamin with them because Yosef insisted on seeing Binyamin, Yehuda accepted upon himself a cherem if he did not bring Binyamin back. He said to Yaakov, Im lo haviotiv elecha vihitzagtiv lefanecha vechatati lecha kol hayamim. That phrase of vechatati lecha kol hayamim is an acceptance of nidui on the condition that he doesn't bring Binyamin back. In the end, he did bring Binyamin back. But because that nidui was never annulled, so according to Chazal, even after Yehuda died, his bones were not able to find peace. He was not able to be to find peace after burial until Moshe and Vizot HaBracha davened that Yehuda be put to rest. Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda ve'el amo tivienu. El amo tivienu is a reference to having a proper burial to be able to be at peace. But fundamentally, Yehuda needed to have that nidui annulled, even though it was on condition, and the condition was not fulfilled. A Talmud Chacham who says about himself that he should be in nidui if he doesn't fulfill some kind of condition, then, as we said, that nidui has to be annulled, but he can annul it himself. Halacha Yedbet. Mish niduhu b'chalom, afili adam minidahu, tzarich asara b'nei adam sheshonin halachot latiro miniduyo. Someone who dreams that he has put in nidui, this is taken as a sign that mishamayim, he deserves to be put in nidui. He needs to convene 10 people to nullify that nidui, and not just any 10 people, but 10 people who are expert in halacha. The Shulchan Aruch adds here that even if in his dream he also had that nidui annulled, he still needs to get it annulled when he wakes up. The reason being that every dream has some nevuah in it and some falsehood. So we're concerned that maybe the part where he got the nidui was truth, but the part where the nidui was annulled was the falsehood. V'im lo matza torech acharehem ad parsa, lo matza matirin lo asara sheshonin mishna, lo matza matirin lo mishi yodin likrot batora, lo matza matirin lo afilo asara sheinam yodin likrot. Now the Rambam just goes through the list of if someone can't find 10 people who are very well versed in halacha to nullify this nidui that he was put in his dream. So first of all, he has to look for such 10 people, even to walk as far out as a parsa, about 4 kilometers, less than 3 miles. If even that far away he can't find 10 people like that, then he can nullify the nidui with 10 people who can just learn Mishnah, aren't necessarily expert in halacha. If he can't find even 10 of those, it's sufficient to have 10 people who can read from the Torah. If he can't find even 10 of those, then he can even do with 10 people who can't read from the Torah. And if he can't find 10 people at all, then he can be matir his nidui with just 3. Halacha Yud Gimel. Mish niduhu befanav, ein matirin lo ela befanav. Nidu shlo befanav, matirin lo bein befanav, bein shlo befanav. Ve'ein bein nidui lafara klum, ela menadin umatirin berega echad kishiachzor hamunudeh lemutav. If someone was present when he was put into nidui, then the annulment of the nidui also has to be done in his presence. If he is put into nidui not in his presence, then the annulment can be either in his presence or not. The annulment can be even 1 moment. There is no minimum length of a nidui. And if a person does tshuva immediately, then we can annul his nidui immediately. On the other extreme, if Beit Din feels it appropriate that this person should be in nidui for several years because he's refusing to do tshuva, then he can stay in his nidui or cherem for as long as it takes.
Beit
Din, if they wish, can impose a cherem from the start, the higher level, not the lower level of nidui.
Beit Din can impose further restrictions and say that anyone who eats or drinks with this person who's in nidui, or who stands within 4 amot of him, that person will also be in nidui or in cherem. Beit Din can impose whatever conditions they feel are necessary for the situation. It's within Beit Din's prerogative to establish the stringencies in any nidui.
Here the Rambam is expanding on a point that he mentioned in the previous perek, which is that even though a chacham is allowed to put someone in nidui for insulting him, it's most praiseworthy for a Talmud Chacham not to engage in that kind of behavior, but just to ignore what other people say about him, not listen to them. This is what Shlomo said in Kohelet, Gam l'chol adverim asher yidaberu, al tein limecha, don't listen to what people say about you. V'chenei aderech chasidim arishonim, shomin cherpatan v'inan mishivin, v'lo od ela shemocholin l'mecharef l'solchin lo, v'chachamim gedolim hayu mishtabchin v'maseh hananaim, v'omrim shemeolam lo nidu adam v'lo hecherimuhu l'chvodan. V'zoi der kam shol tamnei chachamim sheraui leilech ba. We've seen the Rambam mentioned a couple of times already
in Hilchot Deot, in Perek Bet, and in Perek Hey,
that
The Hasidim HaRishonim used to hear themselves being insulted and not respond. And that's the best way for a Talmid Chacham to be and not to put the offending party into nidui. Not only that, but to forgive the person who insulted them. The original Chachamim would, in fact, praise themselves in that they never put someone into cherem or nidui for their own kavod. But now the Rambam concludes the perek and concludes Hilchot Talmud Torah with an important caveat to this last point. B'medvarim amurim b'shebizuhu o cherfuhu baseter. Aval talmid chachamim shebizahu o cherfo adam b'farhesia asur lo limchol al kvodo v'machal ne'enash mipnei sheze bizyon Torah elano keim v'noter hadavar k'nachash ad shivakesh menu mechila v'yislach lo. When is it a good thing for chachamim to listen to himself being insulted and not respond? When it's done in private. But when it's done in public, that is not just an offense to him. It's an offense to the Torah, and he is not allowed to forgive in that case. Because of Kavod HaTorah, he will in fact be punished if he forgives it. He has to insist that the person recant, and if not, that person should be put into nidui and cherem. He has to be made an example of, and only when such a person requests forgiveness should the Chacham forgive him. This emphasis on the importance of Kavod HaTorah is a fitting way for the Rambam to end Hilchot Talmud Torah. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.